Hello, my friend. Thanks for joining me today, and welcome to the September 2012 issue of Gospel Gazette Online. I am Tim Childs, your host, for this 5 to 7 minute audio segment, A Word Between Friends. A special thanks is in order to Lewis Rushmore, editor of Gospel Gazette Online, for his personal encouragement and making this means of communication possible. You don't have to talk with many folks to know that people have varying ideas about the church concept. Some are positive, others not so much. It is unfortunate that some have negative ideas about the church, and what they term organized religion, due a large extent to the division that is so prevalent between denominational bodies. Jesus understood that disunity among those who profess belief would prompt unbelief in the hearts of many, John 17:21. It would be quite helpful to all of us if the modern religious landscape could be cleared away, if we could go back in time to the beginning, to the way it was in the early decades of the church's presence, before there was so many competing ways of doctrinal belief and practice in the world. It would be such a blessing if people living now could only see through the present-day haze and confusion to visualize what God meant the spiritual body of the saved to be. The only way to do that is, in truth, to go back to the Bible to hear God speak through His appointed messengers. My friend, please be aware that the church did not just appear accidentally out of thin air during the past couple of centuries, nor did it originate by skillful planning on the part of a scholarly group of religious men. According to God's holy word, the church is an integral part of God's redemptive plan. Ephesians 5:23 points out that Christ is Savior of the body. Since Christ is Savior of the body, it behooves each of us to learn what God is doing with the body and under what conditions He is willing to add us to that body of the saved. The Holy Spirit reveals, and I'm reading directly from the text in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." The church, you see, was planned and ordained in the mind of God even before God created Adam, Ephesians 3:10-11. This text indicates the church is part of God's eternal purpose. Therefore, we can understand it was not plan B. It was plan A, and God stayed the course with it. He executed the plan, but that didn't stop the efforts of the great deceiver, the evil one, in his efforts to muddy the water and sway the thoughts of men away from God and His original. Jesus, the Son of God, declared His intention, and it would soon be fulfilled when He promised, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or better rendered, Hades, "shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16, verse 18. It is only natural that the church should belong to Christ, seeing that He built it, and further purchased it with the price of His own blood. Acts 20:28. So, in every conceivable way, it is rightfully His. It belongs to Him. Paul, formerly known as Saul of Tarsus, was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was a man converted in the city of Damascus from Judaism to Christianity when he was taught by Ananias about Christ and justification by faith, including what he must personally do to finally have his sins washed away, Acts 22, verse 16. The same man penned Ephesians 1, 22-23, pertaining to the decisive work of God and the relationship that all the body of the saved have with the Son. Ephesians 1, 22-23 says, "And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." With all the body of the saved having the same identical head, just as the physical body is under the direction of one head, the life and function of the whole spiritual body, the church, is organized and controlled by one head, who is also described as having been made Lord, Acts 2:36. God's platform for unity among all believers has been made known by the Holy Spirit. Consider what the Spirit revealed in Ephesians 4, 3-6. We read, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." With these thoughts of unanimity in mind, we are reminded that Jesus prayed for unity among all those who would follow Him, John 17:21. The church, the body of Christ, was never designed by God to consist of denominational bodies that pull and separate people from one another. Why would the family of God also be styled the body of Christ? Consider the following. The phrase, the body of Christ, gives emphasis to the relationship all Christians have to Christ and to one another. We are linked or attached together as one spiritually. Romans 12 verse 5 says that we are one body in Christ and everyone members one of another. We are so interconnected that what affects one affects the whole. The Hebrew writer taught all of the saints to, quote, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Hebrews 13:3. The phrase, the body of Christ, also gives emphasis to the essential nature of unity among all Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, draws the analogy of the physical body to teach vital truths about the spiritual body of Christ. Each Christian has a God-given task or purpose and must utilize their gift toward the function and edification of the whole. All Christians must be in sync with the head and with each other. The phrase, the body of Christ, gives further emphasis to the fact that we are laborers together with God. We are reminded that we as Christians are ones through whom God works in the world today. We are God's heart of compassion in time of pain. We are God's feet to carry the gospel to a lost neighbor. We are God's hands of service. We are God's mouth to speak words of grace, love, and kindness. We are God's ears to patiently listen to another's concerns or fears. The body of Christ is able to accomplish untold and immeasurable good. Finally, the phrase, the body of Christ, gives emphasis to the fact that the church is not a physical building or merely an institution, but the church, the body of Christ, is a living organism, empowered and given life by the Holy Spirit. Until next time, may God bless you in your continued study of His holy word and also the practice of His holy will.